Ron Branson, welcome.
Thank you.
Would you help us define what we're talking about here? What makes a covered bridge a covered bridge?
Well, obviously, it's the cover. But one of the things that people don't understand is that the cover itself is not the real bridge structure. When we talk about a covered bridge, we're really talking about the large timber structure that's underneath that cover. And most of those in Indiana are over 100 years old. Through time, the covers are replaced, but the structure remains essentially the same.
And by your own studies, how many covered bridges found their way into Indiana's transportation network?
At one time, there were nearly 700 covered bridges in the state of Indiana. And of course, maybe all weren't standing at the same time. You know, it's an evolutionary process, but there have been at least 700 covered bridges built in Indiana over the years.
That's a goodly number. What else were covered bridges used for besides transporting?
There's lots of stories because, again, a lot of times the covered bridge would have been the most modern structure that was built in the community. And so it would be a great place to have gatherings of local people. If it was going to be something going on and it rained, it was a great place to get out of the rain. It was something that was recognized as modern technology. They wanted to celebrate it. It was something neat and interesting. Some communities were able to have bridges built by the state because of commerce. Others built their own covered bridges so that they could connect those commerce systems.
Do you think this, well, the communal and social use and also the communal support of the covered bridges helped form the bonds that are still present in communities that still have their beloved covered bridges?
Park County is a great example of that. Park County still has over 30 of their covered bridges, and it draws the community together. That's why they have the annual Covered Bridge Festival. It's a great place for people to go and connect with that old rural history where the way you got across the water was through a covered bridge. There's a mystery about covered bridges. There's a romance. Something about walking through a covered bridge takes you back in time to a place that a lot of us don't normally get to in our busy days. And so there's a lot of interest in that nostalgia.
When did they start to fall out of favor and why?
The advent of the automobile was really the event that marked the demise of covered bridges. When people were going across bridges in horses and buggies, there's a certain speed element that's involved, and so you're not going to come face to face with somebody else while you're going across that bridge. The automobiles, single-lane bridges, became scary. Folks would take the siding off so that they could see around the corner so they would know that somebody else was or wasn't coming. Of course, once you remove the siding, then that starts to decay. And then probably the real factor that led to their ultimate demise in many places was the fact that they had weight limits and shapes and sizes that didn't allow for trucking to move through them. And so even in the early stages of the 1940s, as we started trying to move more materials by vehicles instead of by rail, it just became an inefficient way of providing commerce, and they were commerce tools to begin with.
The progress that brought them here was making them antiquated.
Yeah. In some ways, they were their own worst enemy. If they had done their job well, then the city had grown, and if the city had grown, then they needed a new bridge so that they could have more commerce.
Once covered bridges were widely considered remnants and relics of days gone by, what preservation programs were put in place?
In Indiana, we have the Indiana Covered Bridge Society. And that's an organization that was founded essentially in the early 1930s by a group of individuals who recognized that these relics of the past were going to be fading away. And so they started out just by documenting them, trying to keep track of what existed, take pictures of it, remember how it was made, appreciate the engineering that went into building a covered bridge. And then over the years, the efforts have been focused on making sure that we find ways to keep them in place, as in, like the Spencerville Covered Bridge. The Spencerville Covered Bridge was one that needed to be replaced because of trucking issues. They had coal trucks going across that were too heavy for it. And so they actually built a bypass and let the bridge stay. One of the most difficult things for a covered bridge is if they bypass it and then close it. So in Spencerville, where they built a bypass so that you could go around the bridge, other places they'll do fords where they'll actually make a large space so that farm equipment can get past them still in a rural community, but during the seasons when they don't have to worry about the high water.
Your own Covered Bridges of Indiana certainly does advance the cause of covered bridges. What are you working on now?
I've started working on round barns. Round barns are actually more danger than covered bridges because they're on private property. So many of the covered bridges are on state or county property, and so it's a lot easier to raise funds and to get federal assistance actually in preservation. But most of these round barns are sitting on someone's property, and the cost to repair a round barn versus building a new pole barn makes it very difficult for a farmer to see his way clear to invest that money in saving a round barn.
Well, we certainly appreciate your dedication to all things important Indiana history, and we wish you luck.
Thank you very much.
Ron Branson is a founder of the Indiana County History Preservation Society and author of Covered Bridges of Indiana. He joined us today in our Fort Wayne studios. Thank you so much for sharing your time with us, Ron.
It's been a pleasure.